Hello, everybody. I'm Bill Buckmaster. Welcome to the Buckmaster Show. It's Monday, July 30th, 2012. Hope you had a great weekend and you are off to a good week so far. I would be surprised if this July doesn't go into the record books as one of the wettest Julys ever here in the Old Pueblo. Home of the Buckmaster Show, AM 1030 KVOI. We like to call it Tucson's intelligent voice. We're streaming our show live at buckmastershow.com and at kvoi.com. And there are three sites we are posting the program to every afternoon, so you can check it out anytime, anywhere. My website, buckmastershow.com, tucsonsentinel.com has the show, as does tucsoncitizen.com. And we are live noon to one each weekday. We will launch this edition of the Buckmaster Show the way we do every Monday afternoon with a political face-off. Today, our team of commentators, Bruce Ash and Jeff Rogers. Should be a lively discussion, as always, when these two gentlemen sit down with us at the microphone. 30 minutes past the hour, Stuart McDaniel will be with us. He's one of four Republican Pima County supervisor candidates in District 1. One of those four Republicans will go on to meet Democrat Nancy Young Wright in the fall. Then we'll talk about space with our contributor on space exploration, Dr. Mark Sykes. He heads up the wildly successful Tucson-based Planetary Science Institute, which is celebrating its 40th year. If you'd like to join in the conversation, the Buckmaster Show live line is 790-2040. Our producer, Rosemary Brandt, will be monitoring the Buckmaster Show Facebook page during the course of the face-off. If there's a question that you would like to post there, we'll try to get it on the air. Now we begin with the Monday political face-off. Attorney Jeff Rogers is the chair of the Democratic Party in Pima County, and Bruce Ash is the Republican National Committeeman for Arizona. The Monday political face-off presented by our friends Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985, specializing in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing and hanging services and hanging systems. Moe's is at Fort Lowell and Dodge and at moesgallery.com. Jeff, good to see you.
Good to see you, Bill.
And Bruce, good to see you. Hope you both had great weekends. You get a lot of rain at your houses?
It was awesome.
Tons of rain.
It just keeps going on. Very productive. Some are saying almost a classic monsoon for those of us who remember the old days where you could set your clock by the afternoon thunderstorms.
You could, but it doesn't seem like they were as severe back in those days when I moved here in the late 70s. It seems like these have been a lot more of powerful rainstorms.
A lot to talk about with you gentlemen. Let's begin with the open primary. A judge in Maricopa County will hear arguments this week on whether Arizona voters get to decide if they want to scrap the current system of partisan primaries. The opponents of this, Jeff Rogers, claim that this initiative is really unconstitutional in that it is asking voters to make too many changes in the law with a single vote.
Well, yes, they have argued that there are more than 70 statutes will actually be affected by this, and we have a single subject rule in our state constitution so that voters don't have to look at something and say, oh my God, it affects all these different areas, but I really like it for this reason, but I hate these other things. That is what our state constitution forbids. It's something that covers so many different areas. So I think they have a pretty good argument. The opposite argument is that if all these other things are necessary to effectuate this single purpose, then it would be constitutional. I'm troubled by it for both legal reasons and I have a lot of philosophical differences with this top two or jungle primary as people are calling it. I think it presents a lot of problems. And let me give you a few examples. It has the chance to discriminate against Hispanics in Arizona. There was a legislative district in California where there were four Hispanics and one non-Hispanic running as Democrats. But there were so many of them on the ballot that the Republicans were able to really prevail, and there will be no – and this was one of those majority-minority districts that's a Voting Rights Act issue. And they have argued in this case mostly this is a Republican lawsuit here in Arizona. They have argued that it can and does violate Section 5 of the Voting Rights Act, and it will marginalize Hispanic voting. And I believe that's correct. We've seen it happen already in California. The other kind of thing that it does is it encourages mischief. For instance, let me give you an example. example, in Arizona right now, you have seven candidates running in the new congressional District 9 for the Republicans and three for the Democrats. If this was a top two, we would be guaranteed that two Democrats would finish in the top two. And so it's going to create all kinds of mischief and all kinds of party shenanigans where Bruce and I are going to have to come to people and say, you can't run. There's too many candidates running right now. You'll cause us all to lose. And so, you know, it's really instead of inviting more choices, it's actually going to narrow choices, I believe.
Bruce Ash, would you agree? Will this be the only time you might agree with Mr. Rogers?
You know, interestingly, Jeff and I, and he says it also, we do agree on a number of different things, this being one of them. And I hope that there's some way that we can look at this, both parties together. It also protects, I think, and Jeff, I know you and I have talked about this before, it protects lesser parties as well, libertarians, Greens, and others who in this sort of a setup will never have a chance. You know, normally when you do something sort of goofy like this, it has all kinds of unintended consequences. It's amazing that the freest country in the world, we like to think America is, has been operated under essentially a two-party system for many, many decades, for a couple of centuries. And now people who are interested in correcting all of the problems of the two-party system want us to go to essentially what amounts to a one-party system, which only works in totalitarian countries. So, Jeff and I have, I think, a lot of common ground on this. I think our political parties have a lot in common as well on this. And I hope that this lawsuit does prevail and that perhaps there may be a more thoughtful way to approach this if it's done so in the future.
Well, there is one area I think that you two will not agree on, and this is the Arizona budget surplus, that how we got to that surplus, let's put it that way. $379 million, three times the prediction. State spending appears to be down. Bruce Ash, the Republican candidates, at least the ones I've interviewed for state legislative office, are saying, look, we balanced the budget and we're doing pretty well here in Arizona. And I think Jeff Rogers is going to say, yeah, but at what cost? Go ahead, Bruce Ash.
Well, actually, I'll take maybe the middle position on this, because we do have what could be a major problem coming up budgetarily for us after the 1 cent school sales tax goes away, depending upon what happens with this ballot initiative on the sales tax and continuing it in the future. So, I hate to see us fritter that money away. I do think that we need continued austerity at the state level, and we need to be smart about it. And I hope that we will continue to be thoughtful, and that both sides of the aisle will work together as the legislature comes back together in 2013.
Jeff Rogers, either the same day or within a day that the report came out that Arizona ranks among the worst states in the nation in the annual survey of conditions for children.
Yes, we rank 46th in the nation, and so this balance was budgeted. This budget was balanced on the backs of the poor and the needy, and on children and education. And so it's no accident that we see that report come out at about the same time. Bruce is correct that this we are going to see this cliff, and it's several fold. Not only does the 1 cent sales tax expire, but even if voters renew it, the hands are tied of the legislature with this new 1 cent sales tax. 80% of that tax must go to education, and it takes away discretion. It forces the state legislature to fund it at the 2011-12 or 12-13 levels the funding was, and then this is in addition to and on top of that. So this is not going to give us money that the legislature can have a great deal of judgment as to how they spend it. And at the very same time, in the 2013 fiscal cycle is when these imprudent tax cuts that the Republicans forced through in this legislature, one a capital gains tax cut and another one a corporate tax cut, those will take effect at the same time, lessening the revenue that are going to come in. So, my preference here is that we are prudent with this money, but that we use some of this money for education and particularly for children's health care. We have 25% of the children in this state live in poverty, and we have double the amount of children who are uninsured. So we need to look at those two factors and use some of that money for those purposes, I think. But you're right. This is a temporary surplus as far as I'm concerned.
Bruce, is there a correlation with that balancing the budget on the backs of our children?
Look, everybody got cut in these past few budgets, we keep redefining what poverty levels are, and we keep listening to surveys like this that constantly seem to put us in the lower 10 percentile around the country. And the real problem here is we need to get people back to work, working again, paying taxes, creating wealth, employing people. That's really, I think, the main job that we all have, not just government. I don't think government creates jobs, but certainly creates an environment that is healthy for business people to want to do business in Arizona. And that's what we need to focus on, because if we have a rising tide that lifts all boats, all of us are going to have a very, very pleasant outcome, and we're not going to have the kind of budgetary problems.
We're going to take a break right here. This is the Monday Political Face-Off. Jeff Rogers is seated to the left of me and Bruce Ash to the right of me in the KVOI studio. We continue with the Monday Political Face-Off after these messages from the people who support the Buckmaster Show, and please support them. Thanks. If you love antiques like I do, I strongly suggest a visit to Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American Western art. They also have a fantastic selection of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell. Adobe House Antiques, 325-9439. That's 325-9439.
A simple solution to foot and lower back problems could be a top-quality custom-made foot orthotic created by Bob Novak. A certified pet orthist, Bob is the best in Southern Arizona in the creation of the right foot support that your body needs and at a price you can afford. Please give Bob Novak a call, 795-2553, or visit him at Arizona Lim and Brace, Rosemont and Fifth Street. Your feet will thank you every day.
For 5 years, the RTA has been delivering our promise to you, finishing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways, with more than a dozen projects underway, including the modern streetcar in downtown Tucson. Please use caution and obey all traffic signs. The RTA has ongoing support of expanded SunTran, SunVan service, SunExpress, and SunShuttle neighborhood service. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel around our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Two of the world's largest pharmaceutical giants, Roche's Ventana Medical Systems and Sanofi, know where bio works. It works at Innovation Park in Oro Valley, one of the 10 best towns for families, according to Family Circle magazine. Bioscience and bioindustry, working together at Innovation Park with 275 acres of inspiring environment ready for biodevelopment. Learn more about where bio works at innovationparkaz.com. Noble Hops Gastro Pub is for people who revere their beer and their food. Noble Hops specializes in high-quality, delicious food and offers an impressive, ever-changing selection of handcrafted beers from around the world with more than 24 on tap. Noble Hops, a pub for foodies at the southeast corner of La Canada and Lambert in Oro Valley, and always on the web at noblehopspub.com and on Facebook.
Let Karimi Oriental Rugs keep your valuable rugs looking like new with Arizona's finest cleaning, repair, and restoration. Karimi specializes in restoring antique, silk, and Navajo rugs with a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Stop by Karimi Oriental Rugs at East Fort Lowell and Dodge and say hello to owner-operator Amir Karimi. Sale, purchase, wash, repair, restore, and appraise. It's KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is one of Southern Arizona's crown jewels. You will find that the services and amenities offered at Splendido rival those of a fine resort. But what sets Splendido apart is a continuum of health care that allows for a full life today, knowing tomorrow is secure. As a true continuing care retirement community, Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Welcome back to the Political Face-Off presented by Mose Gallery and Fine Framing at Fort Lowell and Dodge and at MoseGallery.com. I was over Saturday, had some work for Mo. Boy, they do a beautiful job. If you've got any framing needs, Mo can certainly take care of it. He and his family have been running this great business since 1985 over there at Fort Lowell and Dodge. Jeff Rogers is with me and Bruce Ash. It is the Monday Political Face-Off presented by Mose Gallery. Well, we started the face-off with Jeff and Bruce agreeing. They're not at all, they're questioning the open primary, the so-called top two. Neither of them very happy about it. Now, are we going to get another agreement here on Rio Nuevo and the purchase being off of the Manning House, Jeff Rogers?
Well, I think we probably are going to have an agreement there.
This is really going to be for the record.
Books. When I saw the that they were planning this, and then even when they got a legal opinion from the Legislative Council saying that they could do this, just because you can do it doesn't mean you should do it. I mean, you know, there's a huge lack of confidence in anything Rio Nuevo related, and this board, I have a lot of confidence in this board to figure this thing out and to do the right thing for the taxpayers of the city of Tucson, but this was a real big distraction. And anything related to Rio Nuevo right now is suspicious to the taxpayers. And so we really do need to focus on finishing up the audits and focus on the primary fact of repairing and modernizing the TCC, which is what the statutory requirement of the law that this new board operates under, and then figure out other areas and things that they can cooperate with the city to do in the future and get rid of these lawsuits. We need to, you know, kind of settle them and come to the table and figure out who owns what and who owes what to who, and then, as I said, finish up these audits. But this was just not a real wise idea, even though I do think that historic preservation is something that's very important to me, but I just don't think this was the right route to go down right now.
And Bruce Ash, I know you're not in favor of the I know you're probably in favor of the purchase being off, but you weren't in favor of it being on.
Well, I wasn't in favor of it being on because, and I think Jeff and I would agree on this, it was a bailout. That's really what it amounted to. The Rio Nuevo board has a number of items on their agenda. They need to check off the boxes before they go do something like the Manning House. And look, in this particular case, all this was going to be was a buyout, was a bailout. And what we need is to create confidence in local government, give voters the opportunity to restore their confidence. We're going to have lots of growth issues that come up in this town, whether it's about roads or other infrastructure, school districts. And when we are doing things, goofy things like this, immediately upon all these new folks taking office, I don't know what that does to restore faith in these sorts of processes.
Well, and I will say that these people that have been recently appointed, together with Mark Irvin, who's already on there, are people who I have a great deal of confidence in. They have outstanding business judgment, and their integrity is beyond question. Unlike the prior board, which was really had a political agenda to sort of destroy Rio Nuevo and make the city look bad.
Well, I would just hate to see, though, Rio Nuevo be further compromised by making a bad decision. I'm glad they made the decision that they did not to proceed, and we'll leave it at that for the time being.
Let's talk a little bit about the Jeff Flake-Will Cardin battle. it was interesting, Jeff Rogers, that Senator Kyle and the Flake team put a spent some big bucks, I'm sure, to have a, I can't remember if it was a 30 or a 60-second spot during the opening ceremony of the Olympics with Senator Kyle, in effect, endorsing Jeff Flake. First of all, they spent some money on that. They must have felt that this was necessary to do in this battle with Cardin.
Yeah, I don't think that Cardin's going to beat Flake, but boy, he's really taking giving him some major flesh wounds that probably inure
which
to
is Democrats, you're probably
exactly,
happy to sit
exactly.
back
I mean,
and
this
see.
Is what happened when Dennis DeConcini, then a somewhat unknown county attorney from Pima County, basically won an open seat because the Republicans had such a horribly divisive primary. So I think that, you know, for us, we're looking at it rooting for Will Cardin to keep wounding Flake and make this an easier win for us. But I have a lot of confidence in our candidate in this case. It's really I just can't think of a better Senate candidate we've had in the 40 years that I've been here almost.
Is this damaging Jeff Flake, Bruce Ash, this campaign?
Probably not, except that he's got to spend a fair amount of money to run this primary campaign. Jeff Flake will win the primary going away. This isn't an endorsement. I'm a party official. I'm not giving an endorsement to Congressman Flake, but he probably will based upon some polling data that exists. And, you know, we start voting, what, in another week, give
it's
or take?
This, it could be this week.
Pretty,
this
pretty
the
quick.
End of this week, yeah.
Thursday,
the ballots
I think
will get mailed out Thursday.
Go out. So, you know, game on. And frankly, I don't think that many voters see past the obvious distortions and the misstatements that have been made by the Cardin campaign against Jeff Flake. And you know, it'll be a spirited campaign irrespective of where Republican folks were, Cardin versus Flake. Republicans will come home. They'll vote for Jeff Flake. And Jeff has a fair amount of coverage with independents and soft Democrats as well. I think that he'll prevail, particularly with Romney taking the state.
Well, I think Carmona is probably the strongest Senate candidate in the history of Arizona.
Do you really?
Other than you go back to territorial days. Mm-hmm. The fact is that he's – everybody, when we drill down to these polling results, we see people who know about Carmona and know about Flake – Carmona leads that by a wide margin. The only reason he's a little bit behind is he's just not well-known enough. And so he needs to focus, as he is, on getting himself known in Maricopa County and the rural areas. And once people know him, he should make some pretty dramatic moves against Flake.
Well, and if I could just add something about Dr. Carmona, you know, there's no question that Dr. Carmona has a lot of cachet here in Pima County. There's no question that, you know, being the U.S. Surgeon General certainly gives him certain bona fides. I've known Richard Carmona for a long time, and a lot of people who also have known him for that same period of time have kind of scratched their heads. They wondered why he did this because he is – You have to really be interested in people and their problems to be a successful politician. I don't see that. I've never seen that with Dr. Carmona, and that doesn't discount his integrity or his brain power or his good intentions. But I don't think this is a guy who's terribly interested. There have been people after him to run since 2002 for some of the same reasons that Jeff has talked about here briefly. But I just don't see that fire in the belly. I don't see the real interest in constituents or their problems. And I see that with Jeff Flake, and he's tremendously popular all through Maricopa County and a lot of the rural counties.
But you say you're having a problem saying or seeing Dr. Carmona being engaged. What do you say to that?
We're not seeing any problem there. He seems pretty engaged, and we see him out on the
street. It's insular.
Bruce
does.
It's
insular, though.
And to be interested in people and their problems. I mean, for God's sakes, a doctor who a person who's been a member of the SWAT team and the medical part of the SWAT team. I mean, come on. This is a person who is quite clearly interested in the people and the problems. What I think that motivated him to get into this at this date is that he just sees how horrible things are, and the face that Arizona presents back in Washington, D.C. is so bad that this man wants to step forth and do something that is not easy, is to get involved in politics at a later stage in life. Someone who has not been a political regular or a professional politician and lobbyist like Jeff Flake has been. So I think from what we've seen, the voters really do welcome a fresh face who is not a politician.
Well, hopefully they'll welcome him the way they did Jim Peterson when he got punked by John Kyle in 2006.
Jim Peterson is a little bit like when we look at self-funded candidates, they don't seem to do that awfully well. I don't see that in Carmona's case. His enormous base of support is rather extraordinary.
Gotta go. Jeff Rogers, thank you very much for being with us.
You're welcome.
And Bruce Ash, always a pleasure. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
The Monday Political Face-Off, presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985. Moe's is located at Fort Lowell and Dodge and at moesgallery.com. If you have any framing needs or need a beautiful mirror, they've got it at Moe's. We'll be back with Stuart McDaniel. SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. He's accused in 12 deaths and the wounding of 58 other people in the Colorado theater shootings, but James Holmes has been charged today with 24 counts of murder and 116 counts of attempted murder. That's two counts for each victim. A family member says the woman who lost her 6-year-old daughter in the Aurora theater shooting and suffered a miscarriage is expected to be paralyzed as a result of her injuries. A Kent State University student accused of posting a message on Twitter saying that he planned to shoot up the Northeastern Ohio campus has been instructed to stay away from the school and its president. Checking Wall Street, heading into the final half hour of today's trading, the Dow is down 4 points, the NASDAQ off 11, the S&P currently unchanged. More details at srnnews.com.
If you're having foot or lower back pain, you're not alone. My foot doctor recommended custom foot orthotics created by Bob Novak. Bob is a certified pet orthist and best in Southern Arizona at creating just the right foot support at a price you can afford. Please give Bob Novak, the owner of Arizona Limb and Brace, a call at 795-2553 or visit Bob at Rosemont and Fifth. I did, and my feet thank me every day.
Why should you fly at a TIA? Easy. Do the math. First, airfares are extremely competitive, so you won't spend more on your tickets. Second, you'll save at least 4 hours of your precious time, not to mention a bunch of money on gas. Third, covered parking right by the terminal is only $9 a day. And fourth, TIA offers daily nonstop service to many of your favorite destinations. So, what does it all add up to? Easy. Fly TIA. It's the way to go.
Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for fresh and healthy pizzas, pastas, paninis, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is handcrafted using the finest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore's award-winning wood-fired pizzas, certified authentic by the world-renowned Verace Pizza Napolitana Academy, is pizza perfection. Vero Amore, North Swan at Camp Lowell, and in Marana at Dove Mountain, and on the web at veroamorepizza.com and on Facebook.
Inside Pyramid Federal Credit Union, customer service is what we do. Outside, community service is who we are. Inside, we help generations achieve their financial goals. Outside, we help those in need. We reach out to our members. We reach out to our community. Because Pyramid Federal Credit Union is passionate about one thing, people. Pyramid Federal Credit Union, improve your financial life.
There are a million people in metropolitan Tucson, and they have a million stories to tell. That's why there is TucsonCitizen.com, the voice of Tucson. Nearly 100 citizen journalists and bloggers, including the Buckmaster Show, report the news and provide perspective, opinion, and information about everything from local politics to the Arizona Wildcats. Visit TucsonCitizen.com today to read what you can't find in traditional media or to contact us to add your voice to the voice of Tucson, TucsonCitizen.com.
From antique to contemporary, Persia to Pakistan, Tibet to Turkey, Karimi Oriental Rugs brings the world to Tucson at the corner of East Fort Lowland Dodge. Owner-operator Amir Karimi personally selects the world's finest exquisite hand-woven rugs. Sale, purchases, wash, repair, restore, and appraise. KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show at 12:34, and this portion of our program is presented by Silver City, Grant County, New Mexico. Get down to earth at Silver City's first celebration for the love of clay. It's this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Going to be a big weekend over there in historic Silver City and its surroundings. August has been, or always is, a beautiful time of year in southwest New Mexico. Warm days, occasional thunderstorms, cool evenings. You can hike and enjoy the spectacular wilderness of the Gila National Forest. Plenty of great accommodations in the Silver City area, including Bear Creek Cabins. For more information about Silver City, go to southwestnewmexico.org. Early voting beginning this week, and we have a primary. If you live in Supervisorial District Number 1, which covers Catalina Foothills, you and you're a Republican, you'll be making a decision. There are four Republican candidates. One of them is with us now, Stuart McDaniel, running for Pima County Supervisor. Stuart, how are you?
I'm doing great, Bill. Great to see you again.
Nice to see you. How's the campaign going?
Going fantastic.
Tell me what you've been up to.
Boy, knocking on lots of doors, speaking with lots of different groups. Been honored to have received recently the endorsement of the Tucson Association of Realtors, the largest professional group here in Southern Arizona. And things have been going very well.
And you believe that's a big deal to have that endorsement?
It is a big deal. There's over 4,800 realtors in Southern Arizona. And it's a large group. And they're one of the two super PACs here in Southern Arizona.
We have four candidates, as I mentioned, Stuart McDaniel, we have Allie Miller, Mike Helen, and Vic Williams, all battling it out to see who will be going up against Democrat Nancy Young-Wright. When you have a large field like this, and I'd consider four candidates in a primary large, what separates you from your opponent, Stuart?
Well, I'm a business guy, and I've never run for office before, and I don't believe that we can continue to elect politicians or political insiders and expect anything different. I'm looking forward to making a positive difference, and I believe a Pima County where my daughter and your children can find a job, and we can have opportunities here, and where our government is small and the private sector is strong and vibrant, and our roads are in good shape, and our debt is small. So, yes, I've been part of this community as far as being a member of the different chambers of commerce and active within my church. And so I've been here, I've done that, and I've worked with a lot of folks here to make a positive difference.
Tell us about your background.
I've been working in real estate finance for about 16 years. And when one of the companies that I worked for went down, I was with part of a group that helped to bring another company into Tucson. And that company is still hiring. I've since started my own consulting company, continuing to work in the real estate finance industry. And, I've got a daughter here in middle school and a wife, married, and things are very good.
Is that real estate market starting to turn around?
Starting to see, yes, from some of the insiders that are doing some buying of the land purchases. Absolutely. They're starting to look at that. We're about 9 months out from the Phoenix area in that regard. So starting to see that's starting to pick up a little bit, which is a very positive sign for the Tucson area.
Stuart McDaniel is with me now on the Buckmaster Show. We're talking about this four-way race, the Republican race for Pima County Supervisor in District 1. District 1's a pretty large area, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely.
I mentioned the Catalina foothills, but you really have more than that involved.
That's actually a fairly small area. It's everything essentially, figure River Road and then north from there. So all the foothills goes all the way out to Houghton to the east, across all of Oro Valley, parts of Marana, and all the way up to Catalina.
As you've been going door to door, what are you hearing one particular issue come out? And is it, let me say, is it roads, road repairs?
Roads are big, obviously, and we certainly need to reprioritize our spending on our roads. I have been at the forefront of an effort, and I started a Stop the Road Raid campaign. I had a press conference, and I sent out pledges to every single candidate for State House and State Senate to ask them to sign a pledge not to sweep our gas taxes any longer. We have lost over $35 million since 2007 from our legislative gas tax sweeps to balance a budget in Phoenix. And their response has been, well, it's only a small amount. Well, $35 million since 2007 is a large amount, and that could fix a lot of potholes. So we do certainly need to do a better job here in Pima County, but we need to hold our elected officials accountable as well.
Okay, other than roads, what else?
Roads, business development. We have to become more business-friendly here. We need to reduce the regulation, reduce the red tape, and welcome businesses here to Pima County. We can no longer accept this culture of mediocrity where businesses aren't welcome. It's the private sector that pays for the infrastructure here and make sure that we've got great schools and good roads. We have to do that, and we cannot continue to castigate the job creators and expect there to be jobs.
Rosemont Mine?
I'm in favor of Rosemont Mine and the jobs that it will create, and going all the way down to the supply chain, the other companies that will help out to support Rosemont. And this is an issue that will be decided in the federal level, but I don't believe that it is the role of the Board of Supervisors to be interventionist on this effort.
How do you feel about Mr. Huckleberry's performance?
Well, we need to hold our elected officials accountable, that's for sure. He works for the board, not the other way around. And people seem to complain about Mr. Huckleberry, but it's an issue of holding our electeds accountable and doing what we can to, if we don't like that, well, elect new supervisors. And that's the bottom line there. So,
getting back to this four-way race, what does separate you from the rest of the pack?
Well, I'm certainly the conservative in the race.
You think you're the most conservative of the four?
I'm not hearing any of them calling themselves conservative, most or not, whatever it might be. I'm certainly not hearing that. Again, I'm not a political insider. I'm not a state representative with a record of sweeping our gas taxes or voting in ways that are anti-Pima County. So, and I know how to get things done. In the business community, you have to be able to move the ball down the field. And sometimes that means that you're working with people that you don't always necessarily agree with, but you work to get the deal done. And I'm certainly able to do that and work with others to make a positive difference.
You know, getting back to you were saying the area, we're just not business-friendly enough. What could be done? You said cut red tape. What are some of the other things that you would like to see done?
I think that overall the attitude, I think that when we see the county going after Rosemont Copper, other businesses that are looking to leave from, say, California, which are leaving because of the high regulation and the high taxation, they see that, and why would they want to come to an environment such as that? And even the roads, our lack of road infrastructure, as far as our potholes and that type of thing, that shows a lack of commitment to our community, and that's very important. We need to make sure that our overall test scores across the region for our kids are up. When companies are looking to move here, they look at the education system, and so we need to encourage that as well. You know, a well-educated workforce is critical to economic development, and that is very important. So, and then just the regulations, to be able to work with the professional groups. To see what they need to become successful. Government should not be an impediment to business. And as government grows, the private sector shrinks. And so I do believe that we need to have limited government and understand that it's the private sector that, that does pay the bills.
Stuart McDaniel is with us, Republican running for Pima County Supervisors in District 1. You were talking a little bit about education. How about that 1 cent, extending the 1 cent sales tax, making it a permanent tax with dedicated for educational funding. Now, of course, as a supervisor, you would have no say over that. That would be a state legislative function. But philosophically, how do you feel about that?
Philosophically, I oppose raising any taxes, period. Mm-hmm. They have shown that that 1 cent did not go to education. So therefore, we were lied to the last time around, and they used it to balance a budget instead of cutting other things. So no, I would not be in favor of that. But it's not about money always. Money certainly helps in education, but it's about accountability. And I think that's very important. So we need to take divisive politics out of the classroom. And that's been a big issue here in Pima County. That's for certain. So,
where can people find out more about your campaign?
Please go to McDanielForSupervisor.com. It's McDaniel, F-O-R, Supervisor.com, and find out more information. I'll always be available for any questions or anything as well. We do have an event coming up on the 2nd in Oro Valley, and you can find out more information about that on the webpage as well.
Where, you say it's in Oro Valley?
Yes, it is.
Okay, what event is it?
It's a meet and greet. It's a meet and greet at a home. All of the information is on the webpage there.
All right. Stuart McDaniel, thanks a lot. Good luck to you, and we'll see what happens. Thanks a lot.
Thanks very much, Bill. Appreciate it.
All right, coming up now on 12:45 on the Monday edition of the Buckmaster Show. Stay with us. Our friend Dr. Mark Sykes, waiting in the wings. Dr. Sykes is next on Buckmaster. As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways. Projects underway include the modern streetcar in downtown Tucson, Cold Road Extension to Sabino Canyon Road, and Speedway from Camino Seco to Houghton. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
With 275 acres of stunning environment, Innovation Park in Oro Valley is ready for development. Already, two of the world's largest pharmaceuticals, Roche's Ventana Medical Systems and Sanofi, are settled in Innovation Park. Innovation Park, a great place to do business in Oro Valley, named one of the 10 best towns for families by Family Circle magazine. Find out more at innovationparkaz.com.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is a very special place, offering a continuum of health care in a resort atmosphere. Splendido received 2 2007 Best of 50 Plus Housing Awards from the National Association of Home Builders for overall best continuing care retirement community and interior design. Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
Remember when you used to make mud pies when you were a kid? Here's your opportunity to get down to earth again and have some fun. Come join us for the Silver City Clay Festival, August 3rd through 5th, in unique, beautiful, historic Silver City, New Mexico. This 3-day celebration offers exhibits, 14 fabulous workshops, youth activities, films, and all sorts of mud fun. Everyone is getting in on the clay action. Downtown restaurants, bars, musicians, and more. Also available are free lectures, tours, and clay demonstrations. 2 juried events are taking place, an art tile show and a Neo Mimbreño competition. Don't miss the gala opening event at WNMU. For more information or to sign up for workshops, go to clayfestival.com or email info@clayfestival.com or call 575-538-5560. Come have fun and play in the mud with us. See you there.
Think credit unions don't have the locations or ATM networks that the big banks do? Think again. Pyramid Federal Credit Union offers fee-free ATM access at 120 ATMs in southern Arizona and 60,000 ATMs throughout the country, plus free shared branch access at credit unions nationwide. And the convenience continues online with free bill pay and 24/7 online banking. So no matter where you are, you're just around the corner from Pyramid Federal Credit Union. What are you waiting for? Open your account today. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life.
Dragonfly Village is in the midst of a capital campaign to build a 12-building village on a portion of the Amity Foundation's Circle Tree Ranch to reunite children in need with their families. Upon completion, the village will have housing for 100 families annually. Please be a part of making the Dragonfly Village dream a reality. Find out more at dragonflyvillage.org. That's dragonflyvillage.org.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show, 1249 now, and this portion of Buckmaster, presented by our friends at Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley, a true continuing care retirement community. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com. Dr. Mark Sykes joins us now, a Buckmaster Show contributor on space exploration. He's the CEO and director, and a nice guy, too, of the of the Planetary Science Institute, an organization which I am high on and support, celebrating its 40th year. I'm kind of like an honorary PSI guy.
Absolutely. Absolutely, Bill.
I should have some kind of an honorary.
I gave you a pin,
yeah,
didn't I?
You did give me a pin at the celebration. Anyway, PSI is celebrating its big 40th. Nonprofit group engaged in exploration of the solar system. And I gave you a great plug when we were talking about who's on the show. I said, the wildly successful Planetary Science Institute. Well, you're a success. And folks that don't know, you bring money to the community. We're always hearing, well, there's not enough money coming in.
We brought in $8.5 million this year, and we've been growing on average over the last 8 years, I don't know, between 15 and 20% a year.
Not only is Dr. Sykes a good guy, he's involved in lots of different things with NASA, small bodies assessment group. We're not talking about small people.
No, these
are small bodies of the universe. Yes.
Asteroids, comets, dust, small satellites.
And one of your career interest has been the planet Pluto. And what's the deal with the fifth planet being found around our small planet friend?
Another satellite. You know, the Pluto system, it just gets more and more interesting all the time as we have this spacecraft approaching it for a flyby in 2015. The Pluto-Charon double planet now has yet another satellite. So if you say that's like four satellites or five, if you include Charon in that, and it's a very complex system. Pluto has an atmosphere that keeps on getting thicker as it moves away from the sun, which it's kind of a mind puzzler there. And what the New Horizons spacecraft sees when it flies on by is going to be really interesting.
What is it about Pluto that resonates with you? Because, I mean, you've done countless years of study about Pluto. In fact, you determined the temperature of Pluto, and you told me this once before, but I've forgotten what the temperature is.
Oh, it's a balmy 55 degrees or so Kelvin at the above absolute zero at the equator.
So that is in Fahrenheit?
No, what? Kelvin. It's
Kelvin.
Above absolute zero.
Oh.
So you might want to wear a jacket if you're actually there. But Pluto's a fascinating planet. It's in a class of what we call dwarf planets, which are smaller, icier bodies, but they are round under their own gravity. And it has we expect that we will find we're going to see weather when it's there. We're going to see if it's anything like another similarly sized body, we'll probably be seeing geysers. We'll be seeing geology, but of an ice-rich body.
What's the size of Pluto compared to the Earth?
Well, it's much smaller. Pluto's about, I'd say, 2,400 kilometers in diameter, and the Earth is, I have to do my – I know it's about 25,000 – about 8,000 kilometers.
It's only live radio here. Come on.
Yeah, I can't do –
that slide rule for a brain that you
– Yeah, see, that's the problem. It's a slide rule, not a calculator.
So, so when the big argument and the – debate went on about is Pluto a planet or something else? I'm sure you were passionate about being a planet, I'm guessing.
Oh, yeah. I mean, just, the International Astronomical Union just got it wrong, that's all. They were determining what its nature is on the basis of how it affects other objects in the vicinity as opposed to its own characteristics. So, they'll see the light. Once the New Horizons – well, two things in 2015 – the New Horizons spacecraft flies by Pluto, and the Dawn spacecraft gets into orbit around Ceres, and Ceres is another dwarf planet. And we expect to see similar, even though it's yet smaller than Pluto. It's only 1,000 kilometers in diameter, the size of Texas. Mm. So Pluto's more like the size of the United States. The Ceres is the size of Texas. We're getting ready to leave Vesta, which is the size of Arizona.
Well, they're all in the neighborhood.
Yeah. So, but we expect to see a lot of really interesting things at Ceres in the same year that we fly by Pluto.
Dr. Mark Sykes with us. He is the contributor on space exploration. He appears monthly, and we're glad he does, on the Buckmaster Show from the Tucson-based Planetary Science Institute. Got some things coming up that are going to be making news in the next couple of days. The Mars Science Laboratory will be landing this weekend. Why is this important? What's at stake here?
Well, over $2 billion is at stake, first of all.
It's
a very complicated mission, but it's going to be retrieving a lot of terrific science in studying a place called Gale Crater and a kind of a mountain in the middle of it, where we're going to see layers going back, billions of years in Mars history, and tell us something about past conditions on the planet. Of course, the thing that everybody has everybody biting their nails is that it's coming straight. It's not orbiting Mars and then landing. It's coming straight into the surface, and so it's – well, not into the surface.
Wow.
It's going to be –
you hope not into the surface.
It's going to be entering the atmosphere.
Plowing into the surface big time, a cloud of red dust.
There will be a heat shield that will slow it down, then a drogue chute that will slow it down, and then the heat shield pops off, and then retro rockets fire, and in the very end, when it's a couple hundred feet above the ground, it lowers the Mars Science Laboratory down to the ground on a cable using a crane, and then flies off. So it's going to be a real amazing feat when it lands on Sunday at 10:30 p.m. Tucson time.
But you've got something on board, right? PSI.
We have a scientists that are deputy PIs of few instruments that are on the team, and so
success is important to you, right?
Absolutely. I'm out lighting candles every day.
Something I wanted to cover. This was very interesting. A primitive meteorite was discovered on a frozen lake up in northern Ontario, Canada. What is that? What's that about?
Well, a few years ago, there was a fireball that was seen. And dropped meteorites onto this lake, and they got to it. People got to it almost right away, and the lake was frozen because it was in the middle of winter up there in Canada, and so when the meteorite fell, it was cold, it was preserved, and there were a lot of volatiles like ices, ammonia ices, and other things in there that they were able to recover and see things for the first time that haven't been seen before, such as some Alka-Seltzer-like material that if you pour water on it, it just it'd dissolve away. And if it wasn't for the circumstances of its discovery, you know, we wouldn't have seen that material there. But some analysis, which has just been released, is that there's a unusual frequency fraction of left-handed amino acids in this very primitive meteorite, and life on Earth is consists of left-handed amino acids, proteins, and people. It's called chirality. And people have often wondered, well, how did that come about? Why isn't an equal mix of left and right?
You know, I've always wondered that, actually.
You know, and if I
could
was
this perhaps unlock that mystery?
It's an important clue that there's processes out in the solar system which prefer this particular direction, and if the materials that gave rise to life on Earth are externally acquired through meteoritic infalls, you know, where we think we got most of the water on the Earth, then maybe that gives us some insights into how our kind of life arose.
Because lefties are what, usually about 1 in 10, something like
that? Yeah, something like that. Yeah. So what's with that?
I don't know, but this might be the unlock some of those mysteries about why there are so few left-handed people on planet Earth.
No, I don't think we're going to go there.
Okay. But,
just amino acids and proteins.
Oh,
how the molecules curl.
I guess I took it a little too far. Well, you know. Anyway, Mark Sykes, good to see you. We'll keep our fingers crossed for you and your colleagues at PSI, the Planetary Science Institute, with the Mars Science Laboratory landing Sunday night, 10:30. Is that what you said?
Sunday night, 10:30 p.m.
All right. We'll be thinking about you. Thanks a lot, Mark.
Thank you, Bill.
And want to remind you that bottled water on the Buckmaster Show, I have it right in front of me, and I've been consuming it, provided by Culligan, offering the best drinking water and largest variety of water treatment products and services available to your home or business. Folks ask me, why do you like Culligan water? Well, very simple. It simply tastes better, and it's true. Culligan water, we love them. That's going to do it for the Buckmaster Show, the Monday edition. Thank you very much for being with us. We will do it all over again at 12:04 on Tuesday afternoon. Have a great afternoon.
KVOI Cortero Tucson and 930 KAPR Douglas, the voice, Good News Radio Network.